You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Hey, y'all ready for the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour?
You kidding me?
Can't wait.
Welcome to the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where we give you that sports talk in layman's terms. We can get raw up in here, so if you like sports talk clean, this is probably not the place for you. All right, let's get to it. What's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. We are the Brothers Layman, your co-host, Chris.
And via Skype, Jonathan here.
Oh, yeah. Hope all the men out there had a nice Father's Day, all the fathers and the father figures out there.
Absolutely. Definitely want to give a belated Father's Day to the dads out there. You know, I'm sure they aren't told very often, but, you know, you guys are a very crucial part of, you know, the younger generation and how they are molded and how they turn out today. So you guys should be celebrating.
We got to do our part, man. I love being a dad. I've always wanted to be one. I got two kids, and I'm enjoying the process to the fullest. So shout out to all our folks who are doing the father thing.
Absolutely. I'll get there one day. And, of course, shout out to our father. Rest in peace.
Oh, yeah. He's always with us. So.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we here. You know, unfortunately, this basketball is over, but...
Yeah.
Champ has been crowned.
Yeah, the champ's been crowned. It kind of sucks not looking forward to any real basketball. Well, let me not say that. You got the summer league and everything coming up.
We got the draft coming up we're going to talk about.
That's coming up Thursday, so let's get into it.
Yeah, in a couple weeks, we got, July 1st. Everybody can start moving and shaking. There's a lot of rumors going around.
Yeah, so... We will definitely have a lot to talk about, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of sources said in the next few months.
I am already sick of the sources said.
This is a time.
Like, goddamn, sources said Frank Kaminsky four overall. I'm like, what? I almost laughed. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah, man, it's getting crazy out there for sure. Cool. But if y'all want to get at us, talk some sports with us, let us know what your thoughts are on all this NBA, season and going forward. You can reach us via email, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @brotherslayman. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Hey, hit us up. Any questions, comments, concerns y'all got, anything y'all want to know, anything y'all want to dish out to us, you know, any critiques y'all got, it don't matter what it is. Let us know and we will definitely get back at you. Holla.
That's what's up. So, game six. You know, last we talked, it was right after game five. We both said it was going to end in six. No, I had to pick it going six games. I wasn't sure at first after Kyrie went down.
Called it.
Yeah, called it on this, you know. Lucky, but hey, man, game six was the business.
Oh, game six was another great game.
You'd be wondering how hard, you know, things would come out. You know, we didn't see, we even thought we'd see, you know, more of game five LeBron having to put up a 40-point triple-double.
Yep.
That didn't happen, you know, but overall, it looked like, you know, Warriors just came out and just took the damn thing.
Yeah.
You know, and they made a late push, you know, some late threes by J.R. Smith. Like, late threes. Like, where are you being all day?
That don't even count.
Nope. But, hey, man, you know, Golden State, shout out. They was basically been the best team from beginning to end of the season. ends with a chip. Everybody happy. Folks getting that champagne on. Man, I was getting jealous.
Yeah, man. Hey, shout out to Harrison Barnes. Had his first little taste of alcohol.
Yeah, that's a great time to have a first taste of alcohol.
Probably the sweetest taste of alcohol he will ever have in his life.
Yep. Ain't going to get no better.
I'm getting fucked up tonight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they was all having a good time, man. But, man, shout out, man. I mean, we're going to say, Steph Curry. Let's start with the Warriors.
All right.
First off, you know, Steph with the Chef Curry with the pot.
Yeah, man. I mean, look, 8 of 19, 25, 6 boards, 8 assists. Man, had a great game.
He was smoking, man. He was smoking.
Mm-hmm.
No, just, you know, happy to see that after that, you know, rough game 2, you know, missing 2 of 15 from 3. Everybody's starting to doubt how good he really is, you know, kind of quiet early on in the series.
It was so ridiculous. People calling this man weak and he sucks and all blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, seriously, just because he had one bad game, now y'all just want to shit on the man. And he's like, that's my problem with people. They just be, they like damn crows just waiting for the time to poke, to just poke at somebody. It's like, God damn.
Yeah, he hadn't been shooting that well ever since that fall in the Houston series. You know, wasn't putting up his normal high field goal percent, you know, them high percentages. You know, he was doing okay, but didn't really have that breakout game.
Yeah.
And then it was game three, we had like the big fourth quarter. But just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Iguodala gets set up in the lineup and things just pop off from there.
Yeah, it was a wrap after that. Great adjustment by Steve Kerr.
Great adjustment, man. So, I mean, we talked about it. He was even talking on Twitter and thinking like, you know, is Iguodala going to get the award? Should LeBron James get it? You know, luckily, and Iguodala got it. I mean, I've shout out to the Hoopla show. Listen to them today. None of them felt like Andre Iguodala should have gotten the award. And I'm like, well, we differ on that.
I got to completely disagree on that. He was the most consistent player on the winning team. So he got the award. It was between him and Curry. You can make arguments for Steph Curry, but when you put into the fact that Iguodala was putting up the points, as well as being basically the guy guarding LeBron James for most of the games, you got to give a man some credit. I am not with the giving LeBron James the MVP for losing. That is not what I'm about.
No, I don't. I mean, if we're going to say who was the best player in the series, I mean, clearly it was LeBron James.
First.
You know, but, you know, it is something with giving a losing guy, you know, the trophy.
Well, my argument about giving LeBron the trophy is if LeBron had a healthy Kyrie Irving and had a healthy Kevin Love, he's not putting up these type of numbers because he wouldn't have to put up these type of numbers. He put up all these numbers because he had to. He was taking 30 plus shots a game, which is very characteristic of LeBron James. But look at this, dude, 33 shots. He was 13-33 in game 6, 32 points, 18 rebounds, 9 assists. Like, what? I mean, he had to do all this stuff. He had to.
Yeah.
And I mean, as the best player in the world, which he deemed himself to be, and I did not disagree with him. I mean, he the best player in the world. He showed he's the best player in the world. But in a sense, he had to shoulder the load. So he had to do everything. Like if you got Kyrie Irving, you ain't taking 33 shots. You got Kevin Love. You ain't taking 33 shots. You're not putting up these astronomical numbers you're putting up because you don't have to put up those numbers.
Yeah.
And it was him by himself. He had to do that. So, I mean, I got to put all things into consideration. So I'm like, you know, Iguodala didn't start a game all season. And then was just thrusted into the starting lineup game 4. And then you're just like, you know, and then for most of the series, you're guarding LeBron James one-on-one half the time.
And he was playing most of the minutes. I mean, I don't think he was playing a lot in game 1. But he was still put up decent numbers. But then from game two on, he was playing starter minutes.
Yep.
And you can, you know, I've heard that, you know, well, look what LeBron is putting up. I mean, I don't have the stats in front of me, but from hearing what everybody said, if you look at the numbers when Andre Iguodala was guarding him versus everybody else, he wasn't shooting that great. And he was making them work.
Yep.
And, you know, I think people underestimated Iguodala's, you know, ability to pass, to start the fast break. The dude is, you know, he said it, you know, when he won, he was like, people compared me to a Scottie Pippen, to a young Grant Hill. And I was like, yes, I remember that.
Yep.
Because he was that, he can do everything.
Yep.
And he showed it. He showed why dude was an all-star, why he was a starter in his league. I know he's not the name guy, because, of course, we want to give the trophies to the name guy.
Yep.
But, you know, to me, Iguodala just did a little bit of everything, and he didn't have, you know, quiet games, but he was affecting every other facet of the offense and defense.
Yep.
You wasn't like, who's Steph Curry shutting down Matthew Dellavedova? No. I mean, there were times when Steph Curry was getting, you know, he was getting a little abused on defense.
Yep.
And it was like, well, let's switch with Steph Curry. Up, easy basket.
There were times he was really struggling against Dellavedova.
Yeah, now, I was kind of surprised that he didn't get any first play, any MVP votes. That was a little surprising. I know Iguodala got 7 and LeBron got 4 out of the 11. That was surprising, but I would have voted. I was voting for Iguodala, so.
Same here.
And I'm like, you know, I guess somebody would have, but I'm like, if everybody thought it was Iguodala, you know, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, shout out to him. I'm happy for him. You know, I guess if you a wing player and you guard LeBron James, you put up good numbers and your team wins, you're going to get it.
There you go.
But, yeah, overall, they played a great team game. Didn't see a lot of Klay Thompson offensively in this series.
He called that motherfucker from beginning.
Yeah, he was like, I got some doubts.
Like, Klay Thompson ain't doing nothing. Well, he showing up didn't.
And I think most of the work he was probably doing was probably more on the defensive end, guarding J.R. Smith, guarding all the guards out there, because, you know, Steph wasn't doing it. I would think that's probably where more of his impact came. His shot wasn't falling like it was. You know, they're getting contributions from everywhere else. I think if maybe Cleveland was at full strength, then possibly his offensive game would have showed up, because it would have had to then. But at this point, you know, they just needed him to play some all-around ball. He did that.
Yeah.
You know, Draymond Green had his first triple-double of the series. And clearly, the way he's been acting since he won, you'd think he put up triple-double the whole damn series.
Would have thought he the best player of the series.
I mean, he talking mess.
And look, the way the man has been all season, you kind of saw this was coming if they won.
Oh, yeah. Doing the E40 impression on the, yep. Cal, nope. They suck. I'm like, oh, they suck? Like, okay. Like, damn, all right.
Better hold on that one.
Yeah, and then I heard a little bit of, I guess, when he was on stage talking, and I was like, this dude is wasted. He was toe up. He was pouring champagne for the fans to drink. I'm like, this dude, he is twisted.
Well, when you are celebrating a championship, a hard-fought effort won, you can do that.
Yeah, he was talking mad. He was like, Steve Kerr ain't like me from Jump Street. Every time I took a shot, he was looking at me. Like, I was like, wow. But, you know, I mean, he was crucial. Part of that small ball, you know, made the plays when necessary, played some great defense, had an all-around great season. He know he got him a championship, and he got some cash coming.
I mean, he was an emotional leader for them as well.
Mm-hmm.
Get some hyped, and he can get under your skin as a defender.
Yeah. You know, and shout out to the role players on the team. I mean, Sean Livingston came up huge in this series, playing some solid minutes. Leandro Barbosa, David Lee, Andrew Bogut. A lot of these veteran guys have been in the league a long time. You know, you're always happy for them dudes when they finally get the taste of victory.
I'm especially happy for Sean Livingston. I remember when he was the fourth pick overall at a high school, and everybody thought he was going to be this up and coming star.
Magic.
I remember that freaking injury he had. Ooh, that was gruesome.
One of the most gruesome injuries you've ever seen.
Ooh, I mean, people can say what they want about the Paul George. I'm like, nah, that was worse than the Paul George.
That one was nasty.
So gross. Oh, so I was really happy to see him. You know, at least he's developed into a consistent role player. He's not the star that he was supposed to be, but, you know, he's carved out a nice niche in the NBA, and I'm happy for him and for Leandro Barbosa. Remember seeing him with the Phoenix Suns when they was that close?
Yeah.
Oh, and he just couldn't. They just couldn't get over that hump. But, you know, another one, a vet, longtime guy who has kind of bounced around lately, you know, in his career. But, I mean, again, he's found a spot, and he's carved a little niche for himself, and now he got him a ring. So, you know, congrats to those.
But, oh, yeah.
And to David Lee.
He bought his time. You know, more than likely, I guess he's going to be gone. This summer. So, you know, at least he's headed out with a chip, with a ring.
Ring, brother. Holla at your boy.
You know, Andrew Bogut had his own injury issues in his career. So, you know, shout out to all y'all.
Exactly.
And everybody out in the yay getting crazy.
Getting turned up.
Yeah. All right. So, you know, we got to talk about the losers.
Got to give respect where respect is earned. I respect Cleveland for fighting. They play hard. I mean, at the same time, let's keep it 100%. The reason they were in so many of them games was because of one guy.
Yeah. I mean, the guy who averaged, I believe, 35, 13, and almost 9 assists in the series, in the finals.
Freaking stupid. That's NBA 2K numbers. That's ridiculous. But, you know, shout out to the man, LeBron James. He is the best player in the world. I thought it was very classy of him, you know, towards the end of the game when he walked over to Golden State's bench, shook the hands, all that stuff. I know he was mad. When I saw that coming, when I saw him walking over there, I was like, all right, he about to shake hands and then dip. He's like, fuck this shit. I ain't about to watch this, especially not on my home court.
Yeah. Yeah, I was glad that they called a timeout for him to come off the court and him doing that and giving some love. You know, the dude, I mean, of course, there's always going to be folk who hate LeBron. And the memes was going crazy. I was like, can y'all give the man, can we get like a half hour of giving the Warriors love?
Oh, as soon as that game started ending, I was like, where y'all at? I'm like, the memes is coming. Let them fly. Because I know they coming.
Somebody, the crying Jordan face. Man, this the is one where... Lance Stephenson blowing the trophy out his hand. Like, what the hell?
He's the best player in the world. Nobody, you know, people can say whatever they want. LeBron James is the best player on the planet, bar none, period. Yeah,
he proved it. I mean, he showed he can put up these numbers, but also he knows this is not a guy who wants to do this. He can. He's clearly shows you he can.
Right.
But he knows that's not the best way for him or his team to win consistently.
Exactly. He probably could have dropped 50 if he wanted to.
And for those who felt like he should have won it, you know, where I can understand that. My thing was, when are they going to give it to him? Because a lot of us were waiting for LeBron on that podium. Does that man look like he won a damn finals MVP trophy? He's like, get that shit out of my face.
And I mean,
you even heard him say that was a whole big thing. Dave McMenamin asked about going through the trials and tribulations of getting here and losing, how draining is it? And he made the comment about, well, you know, sometimes I feel like maybe I'd rather just lose in the playoffs. Or no, lose and don't even make the playoffs, then get all the way here and lose.
Yeah.
And I know that was dissected by a lot of people. And, it, you know, right after that, he said, you know, but it's always the journey that he enjoys and just putting in the work. For most of us, yeah, and most players, we'd be like, can I get there? But well, from five, if the guy's played, has been five straight times and won two, I'm like, that is tiring.
Exhausting.
Yeah, you work that hard and you come up short. And you're like, well, shit, you know, if I can, you know, save this wear and tear on my body, then so be it.
As opposed to him, it's basically asking him, if you knew you were going to go to the finals and lose, you like crystal ball just says, yes, you're going to lose the finals if you go. It's like, well, at that point, what the fuck is the point then if I know I'm going to lose?
Yeah.
If I have a chance to win and know, and I know for a fact I'm not going to win it, then yeah, I'd rather probably just not go to the playoffs and rest my damn body up. But, you know, with, you know, that's not the case. You know, he had an opportunity. It was there. It was there. They were close, but they came up short, you know, yeah. And it's tough for him. You know, I heard him say he's still a little down about it. And you know,
that one's going to suck. That's one of them where he felt like, if it had that feeling like it was, you know, this was going to happen. Especially after game three, you felt like, man, we close. I can kind of taste it. This city about to get themselves. I'm about to bring a championship. And that was it.
And it's messed up because, you know, the numbers you spoke, it's like, damn, how much more can he do? It's like, what more does he have to put up for his team to win? And that's not, you know, not trying, no disrespect to the other players around him, but you got a guy dropping numbers like that. You know, I mean, if you just showed somebody those numbers and were just like, do you know, you would assume that team won just based off his numbers alone. You'd be like, oh, they probably blew him out of water. Nope, they didn't win. It's like, what more could the man have done? People are like, he need to do more. What more could he do? Drop 40, 20, and 20?
Yeah. And the hard part was, specifically game six, you could tell he was pacing himself. You can tell he was tired. And he was basically like, I'm going to just, you know, everybody like, this game six, you think he's just going to be like, I'm Superman. I think he figured if he came out and just went gung-ho, that came the fourth quarter, he'd be gassed. And with this team with the Warriors, you know, you better be up like 30.
Yeah.
Now we got an 8-point lead going in the fourth quarter. LeBron James has played all but 2 minutes.
Yep.
And then the Warriors come out fresh, start hitting buckets, and then he just gassed. I think he was pacing himself and was like, all right, I'm going to try to be the facilitator. You know, because, I mean, straight up, a lot of times that's what the star players do. Let me let my other guys get off, and then I'm going to close the deal.
Yep.
But ain't nobody get off.
I mean, Tristan Thompson had 15 points, 13 boards. I mean.
Yeah, I will say this for his team. His bigs showed up in this series.
Yes, they did.
They took advantage. You see, he ain't play no Mozgov no damn 9 minutes again.
I told you. He must have listened to the show.
Yeah, I think Blatt, he fell for that trap in that game.
That was one of the dumbest moves I saw him do.
Yeah, I mean, Tristan Thompson clearly was great all playoffs, played really big, he and Mozgov. I heard all the talk about, you know, well, he showed up with Kevin Love out. I'm like, if y'all been really watching, he been balling all season.
Yep.
You know, it wasn't like Kevin Love was playing 40 minutes and then all of a sudden he just wasn't playing. I was like, he was taking Kevin Love minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens come free agency with that, because Christian Thompson is a free agent too.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, I got to give LeBron up the fact that he did mention Varejao, because they did miss him too.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mozgov was very impressive. Nice shot blocker. You know, that was a great pickup for them. It's just he wouldn't get no guard help whatsoever.
Yeah, Dellavedova, 1 point and 6 fouls. That a bitch.
Yep, you started getting all that hype.
Told you. That's that Austin Rivers syndrome.
Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, he's supposedly the Curry stopper. And then like, all right, and then now what happened when Curry get hot?
Dropped 25 on that ass.
Yeah. He wasn't able to score anymore. J.R. Smith and Shumpert. I mean, this is why I love the NBA when it comes to every series is different. Coming off that Atlanta series, it was like, oh, one man's trash, another man's treasure. J.R. Smith back. Blah, yep. Blah, blah. He was quiet as hell in this series. I mean, just settling for threes all the time. He was like, go to the rack, dude.
I mean, that's the issue I got with him. I'm like, dude, you still got the ups and you still athletic, so I don't know, man.
Yeah, this dude should be a solid rebounder, should be solid defensively. But all he wanted to do that Nick Young. All I want to do is just shoot threes.
Yep, and score lots.
Yeah, Shumpert wasn't giving him nothing. It just, you know, he didn't have enough.
Yeah, I mean, that 19 points from J.R. Smith, don't let that deceive you. That was all, the last 30 seconds of the game?
Yeah, he had like, three or four threes in that, all in that last couple minutes. I was like, oh, shit, they're cutting it back down.
Could have used that about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, you're like, where was this stroke early in the first quarter?
Seriously.
You could tell LeBron was like, please, somebody.
Do something.
Yeah, it just was like, fuck. He ain't no quitter. It just, he felt like it ain't going to happen.
Didn't I tell you? I told you on the last episode, I saw defeat in that man's eyes. I saw it. And he was just like, we ain't winning this series. We can't. And I think he tried the best he could, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. So, I mean, clearly they got some work to do. They need to fix their bench. And they got guys to resign. It's going to be an interesting offseason for Cleveland. So we'll see what happens in the next few weeks.
Yeah, we sure. So before we head on to break, let's wrap up this 2014-15 season. What did you think about it overall?
Overall, I think it was a pretty good season. It was a very interesting season. You know, I appreciated, you know, in some of the unexpected things, you know, Steph Curry taking off like he did, you know, James Harden as well, making, you know, that great, you know, even let me toss in Russell Westbrook, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, even LeBron James. It was a great MVP race this season.
Yeah, a lot of guys stepped up.
A lot of guys really stepped their game up, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. I can name a lot of players who really amped their game up this season. You know, shout out to the Atlanta Hawks, man.
I was thinking the same thing, man.
They had defied the odds. Nobody gave them a chance going into this season. They came in with a bunch of guys who people were just like, they're nobodies, they're role players, whatever you want to call them. And they showed you, as well as Golden State, that a team, an actual true team, you know, granted Atlanta showed you do need a couple stars here and there. But as long as you have a great team, you know, a nice set of role players as well behind you, you can win that chip. It's not about just having a big three all the time and just stacking people around that. It's about developing an actual team, you know, around. And I think teams are starting to take notice of that. They're going to try to get an actual bench now, develop benches, you know, develop some of these young guys and say, you know, let's pick up the pace. I think you're going to start to see the pace pick up like it did, you know, in the 80s when cats were playing fast.
Yeah, I think you'll see more of that. I hope now with the last two champions playing more of a team ball style, I hope that comes to be the next trend. It seemed like a little bit this season where you had a little just more ball movement.
Yep.
Getting more guys involved, not leaning all on one or two guys to do everything, but empowering your role players and giving them chances to succeed. So I hope that continues. What I hated from this season, first off, was all the damn injuries, starting with Paul George. Paul George injury started it all.
Yeah. It was like a curse.
It's like, oh, damn, he hurt. And then it was like Durant. I don't want to play. I may get hurt. Oh, now I'm out. Because, I came from with that. I have much respect for the Warriors, and I want to see what they can do in terms of repeating. Because I know as a Spurs fan, it is hard to repeat.
Yeah.
You know, with LeBron, I think LeBron James, he said it. He was like, you need the three things you need to win a championship. You need to get hot at the right moment. You need to be healthy, and you need a little bit of luck. And he was, and you know, for them, they only had two
out of the three.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you needed. And I mean, hey, you know, Steph Curry never had to go against a healthy, competitive point guard. You know, no Jrue Holiday. Mike Conley was banged up. No Patrick Beverley.
Yep.
And no Kyrie Irving.
Yep.
You know, so we don't know.
I tweeted to a gentleman who kind of made that statement on Twitter. Shout out to, I think it was at 210 West. I mean, he said he was like, Steph Curry good, but he didn't go up against Kyrie, so it don't count. I'm like, look, man, you know, you got to play who's in front of you. You can't, I'm sorry, but you can't do that to a guy. You can't be like, well, he didn't play against such and such, so it doesn't count. I'm like, that's bullshit. I am not God. I didn't just create injuries for these dudes. I'm like, they so happen to get hurt. That is not my fault. You can't knock that against me. I got a chip. I earned it. I won it. I'm like, shit, if LeBron James had won, y'all have been saying something completely different. So I don't want to hear all that.
Yeah. You have to play who's there. I mean, you get lucky.
Yes.
I mean, we've seen teams win.
That was apart from
now luck. I mean, we could be like, well, damn, LeBron James got to play in the crappy East.
There you go.
If he was in the West, he probably wouldn't have made it five straight times. But, you know, I mean, just you do need a little luck. Like, he got lucky drawing a Bulls team that just was like, we don't want it right now.
Yep. And speaking of my Bulls, before we go to break, shout out to Derrick Rose for ending the season on both his legs.
That's real.
I was just, God, holding my breath so many times throughout the playoffs. But the man made it through. I'm like, hopefully this is the start of something good for him and he can stay relatively healthy for the foreseeable future. I'm hoping and I'm praying.
Yeah, I hope so, man, because the East showed a little something. You know, the Hawks, I think, will still be there. Chicago Bulls. Wizards are going to get better.
And the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks come back healthy. They land a nice pick. You know, Indiana, hopefully getting Paul George back. Miami Heat should be better.
Boston should improve.
Yeah, so hopefully the competitive nature in the East picks up. And I got to give a shout out to that Southwest Division that just keeps getting harder and harder every damn year. Five teams. All five of them made the playoffs. Let's see what y'all doing.
Yeah, that's deep. That's crazy. That's fucking crazy.
But yeah, man, it was a good season. You know, can't wait for next season, which we're about to get into after the break. So just hang tight, y'all. We're taking a short break. We'll be right back with more of the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour.
We'll be right back. ended up Broader Lame Express. Happy hour with my daddy and Uncle Jonathan.
What's your favorite sports team?
Lakers!
Yeah, he chose that. I didn't make him do that, y'all. All right, y'all, we're back. Brothers Lemon Sports Happy Hour.
Yes, sir.
So let us know what you think of 2015 season. You know, are you proud of your team? Did they disappoint you? You looking forward to it? You still got a bad taste in your mouth? Hit us up. Let us know. TheBrothersLayman@gmail.com via email, on Twitter @BrothersLayman, or on the hotline 323-455-4219.
Hey, and real talk, I want to hear from the LeBron haters and the LeBron lovers out there. I really want to hear from y'all. Real tweet me, email us, whatever you want to do. I got to hear from y'all because I want to know y'all opinions on this whole LeBron MVP nonsense. I'm telling you, the man shouldn't have got the MVP. You don't give, you know, it ain't this everybody get a trophy shit.
Hey, everybody can't get it.
Back.
Well, he didn't get finals MVP. I mean, he not the best.
Well, clearly, he the best.
No, I don't need no damn stinking trophy.
Zach.
All right, so 2015 is a wrap, and we're moving into the 2016 season.
Yeah,
and everything starts with the draft that's coming up on Thursday.
All right, let me tell you straight up how it's gonna go.
All right, we ain't getting all that deep into it, but who you got Minnesota taking?
Well. Sources said it's already Carl Anthony Towns has already been told he's gonna be the number one pick. That's what sources have said.
Yeah, now they've been saying that, you know, Flip Saunders likes Jahlil Okafor. I guess so does Glenn Taylor as well. I know you feel they should pick Okafor.
I mean, well, yeah, I feel they should trade the pick, but if you're gonna keep the pick, yes, I feel they should. I mean, look, I know. The NBA is going through this evolution of everybody want to be a jump shooter. But, you know, if you look at Okafor, the man has moves for days in the post. And you still need somebody you can throw it to down low. I don't care how fast-paced. And first of all, the man is 19 years old. So I'm sick and tired of everybody acting like he's like a 28-year-old veteran already who's basically hit his ceiling. It's like, dude, he's a terrible defender and he can't do this. He can't do it. It's like, dude, he's 19. Like, damn, he played a year of college and dominated. So he's coming into the league, got moves. And, I mean, from what I've seen on film, the man can hit the 10-foot jump shot. I mean, I don't know. I mean, everybody's ranting even about Carl Anthony Towns. Oh, he's so athletic. And
yeah, he's athletic. He's got –
shoot free throws, and it's like, right. Oh.
He has the ability to spread the floor offensively. He's a great defender. I personally think, how you said, I think they're going to take Towns first.
Yeah,
I think just because, you know, I think he plays better with Andrew Wiggins. And I think, you know, it's because there's a lack of real low post scoring, and people go by what they see. And in the finals, it wasn't a whole lot that, you know, Towns is the quicker, faster guy. And that's guys are going, you know, maybe 10 years ago, they taking the big body and the post scoring. But because nobody wants to slow it down, everybody wants, like you said, more up tempo, Towns fits that mold better.
And see, I don't like that because I'm like, well, Okafor can move. It's not like he's the slowest guy on the floor.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But I guess because I think if they didn't have a guy already, if this was going to be their first piece, I could see that. But I guess because Andrew Wiggins is the dude and he's a more up-tempo player, I guess they figured, why don't we just go with somebody who kind of fits that mold so we got two athletic guys.
Well, the fact that they're saying he's going to replace Pekovic, I'm like, well, if he's replacing your center, he's very slender for a five. I don't know. That's just me.
So, well, you know, this watered down NBA five is basically a four.
Whatever.
You well, that's two fours.
They can take the man, Carl Anthony Towns, and the Lakers going to get a superstar center again.
Yeah, I know there's been all that talk of the Lakers maybe taking.
History going to repeat itself. There it is.
Yeah, I do think with just because of who the Lakers are as a franchise, they can do something great with Okafor.
Absolutely.
Like you said, the dude's got moves. You know, they can, you know, he can improve his defense. He may not be a dominant shot blocker and defensive stud.
Feels an immediate need.
It does. You know, feels you need easy baskets.
Got your dude for when Kobe leave, or you can market around.
Mm-hmm.
It makes all sense to me, especially with the fact that you don't know with Julius Randle. All these Laker fans are like, well, we get Julius Randle back. I'm like, y'all haven't seen him play. It's been a year. He got hurt his first game, played like 2 minutes, if that, and got hurt out for the season. We don't know yet. We don't know yet how he's going to come back mentally, how he's going to be, because that's always the hard part, especially for a dude broken leg, all these ACL tears and Achilles tears. And I'm like, when you mess up your lower extremities, mentally, it can be tough coming back sometimes.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how he does coming back. I'm not trying to put a lot of pressure on the young man right now, but we'll see. I mean, hopefully he doesn't turn out to be a, you know, I want to say Anthony Bennett, but I'm just saying because you got and they don't never reach their potential. So we'll see with him. I think you take Okafor if you're the Lakers. I know everybody's ranting and raving about D'Angelo Russell, who I think that's my dude. I love that dude. I just love his swagger.
Yeah, but I think you got to go with Okafor if you're the Lakers. Especially because you know you have a history of building up quality big men.
Well, plus you got Jordan Clarkson, who proved himself to be a pretty damn good player. So I'm like, and you got Kobe coming back. Yeah, you really don't necessarily, that's not an immediate need. I'm like, you need a big now.
Yeah, if you're taking a guy who you know you can get about probably 15, 20 points, you know this guy is going to score.
Yes, and if you know Byron Scott, Byron going to use him like a big, like he knows how.
Yeah, and ain't nothing wrong with getting more size.
Exactly.
You know, so yeah, I think the Lakers, you know, they basically whichever big fall they taking. And then you got the Sixers at three.
Like D'Angelo Russell, they strike gold, baby.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You know, of course, there's the talk of Porzingis. Who's supposedly like a 7'2 Dirk.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, you know he's rumored to go as high as number two.
Let me tell you something. If Philadelphia passes on D'Angelo Russell, they will be – I'm done with them. I'm tired straight up. I have supported Philly all this time. If they do not take D'Angelo Russell with the number three overall pick, I'm done with them. That's kick rocks as far as I'm concerned. They're going to start rebuilding for the next 100 years because you traded Michael Carter Williams because he couldn't shoot the ball and, you know, didn't really fit your team. I'm like, you can get this kid D'Angelo Russell. He's a great passer, got great vision. He can shoot. He's got good size. You got an athletic big in Nerlens Noel who – with a guy like that can, you know, become not a lob city, but a guy who can catch a lot of alley-oops from and set him up well. You have some other young pieces. You know, you let your young guys play. Robert Covington turned out to be a nice find last year. Mm-hmm. You know, you got some of these other pieces. I'm like, if you can get D'Angelo Russell, fill some other needs in free agency, who knows? Philly might be a mediocre team next year. They ain't going to be great, but you could show some promise next year. You add some things here and there. But I'm like, number one starts with taking D'Angelo Russell. They got to take him. You have to.
Yeah, I think that's the obvious. I think that's – don't overthink the room.
Yes.
You need some scoring in the backcourt. He's the number one guard in the draft.
Just and he
– don't Don't overthink it. I know the overseas cat looks good, and then you got Moody A. I'm not overthinking it. This dude can flat out play. Get him. And
he has that kind of swagger similar to the last star they had, which is AI. He mm-hmm. he kind of has that flair to him where, you know, he feels himself a little bit. And, you know, sometimes a team needs a guy like that. I mean, they got a lot of dudes who are kind of, you know, straightforward and tough-minded and all that. I mean, sometimes you need a guy who can, you know, lighten up the room a little bit. I think he's that kind of guy that they can do that for them.
Yeah. And then from there, if that's how it plays out, the Knicks are the people who set it all in motion.
They got to take Justice Winslow.
Mm.
Out of Duke. Everybody can rant and rave, and I know Larry Brown has, you know, said what he said and gave a stamp of approval for Moody, eh? But I'm like, I'm sorry, bro. When I see, I don't know if it's Justice or Eustace Winslow. I don't know how it's pronounced. So I apologize for saying it wrong. But with him, he's so athletic. No, he's an athletic guy. But he likes to defend, and I like guys like that. I like guys who want to defend. You know, granted, offensively, he ain't the best dude. He's shown flashes that he can shoot. He's got some offensive game. He just got to polish it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a guy like that who can come in with the right mind frame, who wants to D up, because we all know Carmelo don't like playing no D. You got a guy you can put on the athletic wings, you know, and lock some guys down. You got rid of Shumpert, who was your perimeter defender. You need a replacement, and that's a good start.
No, I think it will be interesting because Porzingis gets a lot of love, but I do agree with you. What's the other cat from Croatia? Hezonja is a big shooter. I know he's looked at too, but I could see them just taking Justice Winslow and feel like they'll lean that way.
It's the safe pick. It's the safe route.
Of course, the sources said that Porzingis is not falling past Orlando.
Well, sources said Frank Kaminsky could go number 4 to the Knicks.
I don't see. I think that's a reach.
You trade that and then take him.
Yeah. I could see if you're getting like toward the tens or something.
Yeah, maybe 9-10 area.
Yeah, but that's a little high. I think if Moutier falls to number 6, I think Kings are swiping him quick.
I do not. I think the Kings are taking Willie Cauley-Stein, as I said.
Really?
Because DeMarcus Cousins said Willie Trill. And we all know the Lakers are teetering around just waiting for the opportunity to trade for him. So I'm just saying. If you and he's trying to say he ain't trading them, so I'm like, look, if you trying to do right by the man, you take a guy who can defend, you know. So DeMarcus Cousins ain't, you know, I'm like, DeMarcus Cousins can save himself a little bit for the offensive end. You got a guy who can be, you know, a Tyson Chandler-esque type player who honestly can guard like all 5 positions. He's that athletic. He is as a big man. Are so many positions. He's such a nice piece. And for a veteran coach like a George Karl, I think he wants somebody who can come in and at least come in and immediately give you something. I don't know if you can get that for him. And I mean, I know he played overseas, but I don't know. It's tough to me to gauge when guys play overseas, because some guys go overseas and drop 40 points a game and come to the United States and can't drop 10 in the NBA. So I don't know sometimes. And then their sources said his workout with the damn Lakers, he couldn't hit anything. Mm. And so that's always been the issue with him, is he ain't got no J. So I'm like, what the Kings need. I'm like, you got Darren Collison coming back. You don't necessarily – point guard is not an immediate need. You need a big dude to team with DeMarcus Cousins. You have been – for the past few years, you just can't get it right.
they can't. And I mean, that's something interesting because, you know, we keep hearing that the Lakers are trying hard to trade for him. And Vlade Divac has said trading Cousins is not an option, which if he's smart, he does not. You trade Cousins when you are basically forced. Yep. You have no other option whatsoever but to trade him.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not like you in the same boat as the Lakers.
Exactly.
Like you give him to the Lakers. Lakers are already on the up. You're like, hell no. Nah. And the fact that, you know, the Nuggets who are picking right behind you, they basically said nobody's untouchable on their roster. And you heard the rumors of them being interested in Ty Lawson.
Yep.
Which would be a great get.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I'm just saying, man, you team it with a Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, to go along with some of these other young dudes, hey.
You know, but I'm saying if you can flip that six pick into a Ty Lawson, do it.
You got Ty Lawson, Rudy Gay, DeMarcus Cousins. That's not a bad
deal. It's not. You know, George Karl's familiar, you know, with Ty Lawson. Maybe they can get some things together. That is, I guess that's weird with that the fact that they almost basically swapped coaches because now Mike Malone is coaching the Nuggets.
That was very, very odd. I mean, you know, congrats to Mike Malone. I thought he got, you know, a raw deal when he was released from Sacramento. I didn't think that was right. But, you know, he got a young team. I think he's going to do good things with them. I mean, we saw he made some good things happen with Sacramento. I don't know what the hell happened. But clearly they started declining clearly after he left. So I think he will make an immediate impact with Denver. I'm not saying they're going to be a playoff team, but I'm saying you will see progress with that team starting next season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, yeah, man, this draft, man, I can't wait. I want to see who the Spurs get. They're going to go international or they're going to try to fill a need because they got a lot of free agents.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see what my Bulls doing. I got Fred Hoiberg now. I'm like, is he going to try to pluck one of his own dudes? But I'm just like, no, man. Yeah,
they've been, y'all, Bulls have been good these last few years of finding nice little diamonds.
Yeah, they've done a good job of finding guys. So if they pick some international guy, I'm probably not going to know who he is, but I will have faith that he will develop into a pretty good player.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we will be tuning in. Hey, and I guess since what's the name is gone, I guess he will not be at the draft this year. Which I'm glad, Bill Simmons, because he was bad last year.
Celtics no more.
I know Jalen Rose will be there. I know my man who's doing all like the who does all their college basketball will be there.
Jay Billis?
Yes. Maybe you can get Chad Ford in there. Just don't bring no personalities.
Maybe Andy Katz.
Yeah, I'd be down for Andy Katz.
And then, hey, shout out to Hoopla. How about Barry?
Barry Melrose. Them fools.
That shit was funny.
Yeah, man. But some other news that's been going on in the NBA. The Hawks and Danny Ferry have agreed to mutually part ways.
Best thing they could have done. The right move for them, for the city, for everybody. Just move on, brother. Just move on.
I mean, they did a great job as a team of basically covering all that up. That was going to be ugly, but, you know, team got the 60 wins, conference finals, and the city rallied around them. Now you got new ownership. I know he's kind of been cleared of all of that, but still, you know, we've seen Melo was basically like, ain't nobody coming to play for Atlanta with his ass there. So it's best.
Yeah.
I know, you know, the head coach, Boldenhauser, was promoted to president of basketball operations.
I don't know about that. I don't like that.
Yeah, Wes Wilcox will go from assistant to assistant GM to GM. Yeah, I know how you feel about the double hats.
Man, I'm like, coaches need to coach. You need to focus on coaching and not focus on trying to get everything and – pick your groceries, and I'm like, I know on the plus side, you can kind of pick and choose guys to fit your system, but on the other side, like, it's kind of best you lead that to the GM.
Hey, but I will say, though, since we're talking about guys with double hats, Doc Rivers, I think, he made the first chess move. No trade Matt Barnes and Spencer Hall to the Hornets for Lance Stephenson.
Now, the question is, what Lance Stephenson are you getting? And that's the million-dollar question that we don't know. Are you getting the Lance Stephenson from last year who shot, what, 17% from
three? Better hope not.
It who the game-winning shot and basically just ignored all his teammates' high fives to run up and just, you know, hit his chest and pound his chest to show how great he was? Are you getting that? Or are you getting a dude from Indiana who's putting up, you know, triple-doubles, who was showing that fire, you know, being an irritant on defense, playing with a lot of energy? Are you getting that one? Because like you know, they mentioned, Doc has mentioned, you know, and people have mentioned, and you as well have mentioned, Lance Stephenson likes to have the ball in his hands. He is in a situation now. He still ain't going to have the ball in his hands a lot. You got a point guard who is holding the rock. I got this. Very curious how those personalities with he and Chris Paul are going to clash, because we all know Chris Paul can get a little fiery sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you end up getting rid of your crazy guy in Matt Barnes, so you are going to need to bring somebody who's got a little bit of that. I do think with the way everything ended last year for him was basically on a bad note. You'll know he'll want to, you know, kind of get his career back on track, get some better PR. Doc Rivers is a type of coach that can handle somebody like that. I think Chris Paul, I know, Grant, I've heard some different things about him, whether he gets too bossy or whatnot, but he's got a stronger locker room, I believe.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't think it'll be a problem about him holding the ball. I think Chris Paul can play off the ball at times. They needed another ball handler when Darren Collison left.
Yes.
So I like that they get more athletic on the wing. The guy can play defense. He can score, but I do agree, since you got rid of Barnes and Spencer Hall. Well, Spencer Hall's Doc wasn't playing, so you opened up a spot. But I do think now that you made this move, you've got to add some more shooting.
But now you've also given yourself no cushion in the fact if you know, DeAndre Jordan leaves. DeAndre Jordan leaves, you ain't got no centers.
I still believe they can probably still go out and get. Unless he goes to someplace not Dallas, they can get. It sounds like if he go to Dallas, if Jordan goes to Dallas, they getting Tyson Chandler.
We'll see.
And you know, at least the good thing, his third year is not. I mean, he's only making $9 million.
Yeah.
And the third year is not guaranteed. So if he doesn't do well, you can just trade him or cut him, and it's not going to hit. So I like it for his first move, because I was worried about Doc Rivers. He was going to need to make some splash moves. But I like this one as a first step. I want to see who he drafts. That's going to say a lot, but he got to do more. This was a great step, but he still got more work to do.
Absolutely.
I saw your Bulls hired Spurs assistant Jim Boland as Hoiberg's top assistant.
Picking from the apple tree again, baby.
Yeah, everybody leaving shit. 29 years of experience, 17 with the NBA.
I heard Popovich did not want to lose him.
I know. I know he didn't. Like, shit.
I'm like, hey, cool. I know of Jim Boylan from his time around, but shit, great hire for Fred Hoiberg. I mean, very similar to, you know, when Steve Kerr added Alvin Gentry. You got to get these guys who've been around, who know the game very well in and out, and can really help a guy, especially a guy who's a rookie coach in the NBA.
Yeah. So your boy Todd Gibson has surgery on his left ankle.
That is supposed to be, you know, clear up some of that ligament damage, and I guess some other stuff he's been dealing with for the past year or two. And finally, hopefully, they're like he can get past this and be 100%. Because Jesus,
yeah, he's supposed to be out for about 4 months, and then you know, of course, we get into that. It's time we're getting close to whether you're gonna get your option or not. So far, we've seen the Hornets, Gerald Henderson, exercise his option for $6 million for his final year. Danny Granger exercised his $2 million option with the Suns.
Damn, Skippy.
Jeff Green had his option. Eric Gordon exercised his $15.5 million option, which we're like, of course he is.
Damn right.
But Thaddeus Young said, no, nah, I'm straight. I'm opting out. Going to test free agency.
Very interesting. He is going to be another underrated signing on the free agent market. Somebody going to strike gold with him. I like Thaddeus Young.
I do, too. T-Wolves are shopping Anthony Bennett, which shouldn't be a surprise.
I feel bad for that kid, man. I feel really bad for him. He was the number one pick. The year was, you know, we're like, it's the weakest draft in the history of the NBA. Like, damn.
I think if Cleveland knew then, they should have just drafted Nerlens Noel. Been the same damn thing.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, again, I don't want to lose faith in the kid just yet. He'll be going into his third year. I mean, second actual full year, considering he was hurt his rookie season. You know, you get traded to Cleveland, you know, you get traded from Cleveland the next season to Minnesota. I mean, the kid's been, his confidence has got to be shot.
Yeah, it is. I think he just needs to find the right situation.
Yeah. Because who knows? He might be able to blossom into a decent role player. At least I'm hoping.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I mean, it's always that pressure when you're the number one pick. Everybody's like, well, you're the number one pick. But, I mean, shit, everybody was shocked when he was number one. We were like, what? Word? He the number one pick? But, yeah, it is kind of shocking. So I hope, you know, they're going to trying to make room with their loaded front court now with during the draft. So, yeah, I wish him luck, for real.
Absolutely.
We didn't speak about this. I don't know how we forgot about it since we were talking about the Cavs. What's your opinion on this David Blatt? Is he coming back? Is he one and done?
Look, man, I'm going to keep this so 100. David Blatt better be back as head coach of the fucking Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mm.
You're telling me. You got a guy, you plucked him from Europe. He's won gobs of championships or cups or whatever you want to call him out there. Has been as successful a coach in Europe as anybody has ever seen. Comes to the NBA, his first season in the NBA. Signs with the team. Thinks he's getting the team he can develop and grow a little bit. Nope. The best player in the league, in the world, is going to come to your team right now. So now your expectations have gone to probably not even making the playoffs. So now you got to win a title. Okay? So now, with that being said, we get all the way to the finals, game 6, and lose it. If this man loses his job after getting a team damn near to a championship, that sets a bad precedent for the league. That's such a bad one for the league. Cause I'm like, you're telling me you know, as a rookie head coach, you come into the league and damn near win a championship and you still can't keep your job. What the fuck do you have to do to keep a job then?
You have to be liked by the star player. Especially if the star player got pulled like that.
This is this, and see that's the issue. David Blatt is still the coach. It shouldn't be like LeBron should honestly be ashamed of himself for undermining David Blatt in front of everybody. That's not cool. You don't do that. That's your coach, bruh. You shouldn't do that, especially a dude who you know for a fact has never coached in the NBA before. This is his first go round. You need to show, especially knowing you the best player in the world. You should show the man a little bit more respect, even if you're not, you know, not the biggest fan of him as a coach or whatnot. At least save the man face in public. You know, and handle all the other shit privately. But I mean, to you know, kind of diss this man in public, like it's cold. It's cold. And if I'm David Blatt, you know what? A part of me may not even want to be back with fucking Cleveland next year.
The dude has some pride. He's very confident in himself. But you know, a lot of this came out with that Mark Stein article. I just pulled it up so I could pull out what he was saying. James essentially called timeouts and made substitutions. He openly barked at Blatt after decisions he didn't like. He huddled frequently with Tyronn Lue, often looking at anyone other than Blatt. Now, I saw the point when he mentioned Brian Windhorst saying that within the article, them talking about that LeBron may want him around so he can kind of basically kick the guy around, which I'm like, I don't think LeBron would want to do that. He already got control of the team. We keep saying it, nigga, he's coach.
He's coach, GM, and owner.
But yeah, I mean, if every time, you know, you got moments where the coach is calling up a play and you basically like, nah, give me the board, nigga. We running this. Like, damn.
And then at that point, what are the other players going to do? I'm following suit.
Yeah, and it seemed like Tyronn Lue was getting a lot of respect, which I heard was one of those hires that was like almost like with Mike D'Antoni and Mike Woodson and with the Knicks, where you got a guy who's like could potentially be your replacement.
Yeah.
On your bench, and you're like, oh, did you really just hire my replacement behind me? Mm-hmm. So in case you don't like what I'm doing, you can just slide Tyronn Lue in.
Exactly.
Of course, this is all sources. And there are all these sources are back and forth, whether he's staying or going. He seems smart enough and knows enough that he should be able to stay. And I don't know if LeBron James wants to take that PR hit because he is going to, people are going to say it was him.
Going to be labeled a coach killer.
Yep. I mean, you know, great Magic went through it before. I mean, nobody's not the first. It's happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Tyronn Lue, you feel more comfortable with Tyronn Lue, then look, if you don't feel comfortable with David Blatt as your coach, then you need to go to your GM, go to David Griffin, go to the owner and tell him. I'd rather you just be straight up like, look, I ain't really feeling this dude.
Yep.
I think you should hire one of these two. Now, I don't think he should tell people who should be hired and fired, though. I don't know. Like, we want your input. We will take your suggestions, but you're not ordering us around.
Yeah.
That's where the line. I do think he's so involved, he should have, his voice should be heard. I will say that.
Of course.
But not like, oh, well, LeBron said jump, so we just said how high. Like, no, nigga. But yeah, I hope for his. I hope he comes back and gets another chance. You know, but the way the NBA is, I would not be surprised if come a month from now, he's fired.
Oh, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Tyronn Lue's his replacement. Like, of course it is.
I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't be shocked.
Nope. Then that means, all right, LeBron, you better fucking win.
Yep.
Oh, you lost in the second round. I guess you did need David Blatt.
There you go. Just saying.
Yeah, it just got ugly. And, you know, people, we pick on folks. This is what we do in this era, just clowning people like we could do a better job. Season's been over about a week, and it's just picking up steam. All right, hit a couple things before we head on to our awards. This Outside the Lines report that showed up got documents showing that Pete Rose bet on baseball as a player.
To quote my wife, so the fuck what? And I just kind of like, you know what? I told Chris straight up, that's a conspiracy. I see a conspiracy straight up. I'm like, you telling me? It's been what? How many years since old Pete Rose investigation? Yeah, at least 20.
Oh, yeah. Probably more than that.
And the year the All-Star Game is in Cincinnati and people are starting to show him a little love and, you know, maybe Pete Rose should get another chance. This shit just so happens to pop out getting close to the All-Star game. I find that very, very interesting that this just so happened to pop out right now. Little weird to me. I see a little bit of a conspiracy going on where they do just like, you know what? We waiting for the right time to give him another fuck you before he dies.
It feels like that. It does feel like when you told me that the All-Star game was in Cincinnati, I'm like, damn, because you were like, all right, it's in Cincinnati. He's probably going to come out. get a little love, being from Cincinnati's his team. Now I was like, oh, well, I guess you ain't coming to the All-Star game.
Yep. You ain't allowed. He's exiled for life.
Yeah, and then, you know, you want to feel like I'm always, you know, we both say it on here. It was like, when was y'all going to let him in? It's like, did. Oh, what? So now this is the reason why you're not going to let him in? You ain't never going to let him in. This just gives you a reason to not let him in.
Exactly.
Because I kept saying, I'm still going to stand by it. If he gets in, it will be after he's dead. Although at this point now, I guess they just like, screw it. At this point now, Barry Bonds and Clemens are getting in before him.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they may just be like, nah, you ain't never getting in.
Mm.
Or it's going to take, or it'll take the next, you know, once we had the whole generation removed.
Mm.
I don't know. It's just been like word. It does feel like who'd you piss off? Somebody just been holding on to it and like, let's just drop it right now.
Yep. July 14th at the Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm. How fucked up is that? It's less than a
not that long. Speaking of folk who be cheating, Alex Rodriguez joins the 3,000 hit club.
Congratulations. You know what I mean? Like I've always said, even if you use the roids, you got to still put the bat to the ball. You know, there's just so many people who have probably used steroids and ain't hit shit. you still got to be able to put the wood to the ball. It takes discipline. It does take skill. So in that aspect, congratulations to Alex Rodriguez. He's still an asshole, though.
Yeah, he is. He's trying to make up for lost time. Past Willie Mays, now 3,000 hits. People just don't know how to feel. We like, do we count the hits you was cheating on?
Yep.
But, you know, hey, you just another milestone for him and something, some more money that the Yankees are probably trying not to give him.
Exactly.
Be sure to check us out on blackyearsonline.com.
All right, y'all. Let's get into these awards for the week. We're going to start off with the Norse Award.
Norse.
All right, for me, I only have one Norse Award. Mine is going to the Golden State Warriors, who finished with the third largest win total with 83 wins behind the 95-96 and 96-97 Bulls. I mean, this is why people want to say they're one of the best teams in history. Mm-hmm. I have real debate about that, but at least, you know, record wise, I mean, 83 wins is a lot of damn wins. So shout out to them and keep popping that champagne.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a tough road and, you know, you gotta battle to get to the top. So, you know, shout out to them. They earned it.
Yeah. If you're only behind them Bulls teams, then I mean, that's saying something.
Absolutely. All right, so for me, I got a couple. The first one is going to Cam Newton. He was there was a small video clip of him playing football, and you see him grabbing the ball, getting ready to throw it, and he's grabbing it, and I guess it feels a little deflated. So he's like, oh, what is this, Tom Brady? And just flicks the ball.
Oh.
And I was just like, oh, man, here we go. Here we go. They're going to start rolling in, baby. Like, anytime something feels a little off, well, that's that Tom Brady right there. Anything that has to do with things being deflated is going to be called now. Yeah. Tom. Balloon deflated. No, that's the Tom Brady. Tom Brady got that balloon, damn it. That's just going to be good. But for the real, true Noise Award, I want to give it to this kid, Seth Towns. A small forward from Columbus, Ohio, who decided to bypass going to teams like Ohio State and Michigan to go to Harvard University. I mean, it really shocked me that, you know, he's considered a four-star prospect for those, you know, you guys who aren't into the recruiting and all that, four-star is a pretty damn good player. That means he's probably one of the top, he's probably a top 100 player in the country. And that says a lot going to Harvard. So I'm going to read a real little quote, from something that he wrote. says, my goal is to go pro with Harvard. My goal is to go pro with a Harvard degree. That's the perfect scenario. Says, outside of basketball, my dream is to work at Google. I want to be a software developer and plan on majoring in computer science. A degree from Harvard would be special and set me apart. It was extremely difficult to turn down those to turn those other schools down. I've been a Buckeyes fan all my life, and I have a really close relationship with Michigan. The gym I go to is pretty popular around Columbus. When I got there, I was on the local news. Everybody looking at me asking why I picked Harvard. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Why I go to Harvard? For some people, it should be a no-brainer, especially if you know me. It's the perfect place to go. I prayed about it, and God answered my prayer. Academically, there aren't many that will challenge Harvard. Athletically, I think they're an unbelievable rise. They even signed a guy by the name of Siyana Chambers, who is Mr. Basketball for Minnesota. It's just the perfect time for me to represent the best academic school athletically. Hey, man, shout out to him. That's what I'm talking about. I really like seeing some of these guys who take pride in their education, regardless of how good they are at sports, who are like, you know what? I'm thinking beyond that. You know, I'm thinking, you know, what happens when I do go, you know, if I happen to go pro, have a 10-year career, and then after that, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? Just sit on my ass? I mean, the kid got goals and aspirations. He will have a Harvard degree, hopefully, hanging on his wall in his house. I mean, shout out to that young man. I mean, hopefully that sets a new precedent for some of these other kids to really take education seriously. And you know what? It don't matter where you play ball. If you can ball, as we saw with Steph Curry going to Davidson, if you can ball, the media will find you, period.
Oh, yeah, if you can ball, that's all that really matter. No, that's major. I mean, if he can go to Harvard, you actually can get in, and they're accepting you, man, take that opportunity. I don't come around that often.
Absolutely.
You know, and if he's got big dreams and aspirations, you know, basketball is one of them, but he has other dreams as well, you know, and you can go there and accomplish both, then, man, by all means, do that.
Absolutely.
So, man, no, that's great, man. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Oh, God.
What the fuck moment.
What? What the fuck? Slow down. What? What the fuck? No! 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 Fuck that!
All right, what you got?
All right, I got a bunch of them. All right, two of them are extensions of the previous what the fuck moment. So for those of y'all who missed out on the last episode, please check it out so y'all know what I'm referring to. Okay. Right. So the first one is going to Michael Sam. In reference to the to what I had talked about, his what the fuck moment last week, in regards to him being, you know, leaving the Montreal Alouettes for personal reasons.
Yeah.
The Montreal Gazette offered their own theory, and it says, and I quote, "The latest theory concerning Sam's departure was that he simply wasn't good enough to make the roster. Sensed this and left to save himself and the organization embarrassment. This particular scenario is gaining steam throughout the AL's dressing room and for that matter, the CFL. So the ALs are the Alouettes and the CFL, Canadian Football League. So apparently, I guess rumors are spreading around that he just couldn't cut it and he wasn't good enough to make it and he didn't want to be embarrassed by getting let go, so he left.
Damn.
Dude, if you can't cut it in the CFL, yo, you ain't making it in the NFL.
Dude, if you can't cut it, then everybody will be like, see, that's why your butt was a 7th-round pick.
Exactly, and that is why I said everybody, oh, he should have been a high pick. No, he should not have. Clearly, he can't cut it.
Yeah, clearly. Jeez. I hope that's not the case, but damn.
I mean, I wish him the best, but, I mean, Jesus Christ. And then for the next extension of the previous what the fuck moment, it goes to Joel Embiid. There, what's said, there is a legitimate chance Joel Embiid may miss the 2015-2016 NBA season.
Oh, come on. Damn, really?
Says 76ers center Joel Embiid may not be available to play at the start of the NBA season after the latest setback in the healing of his right foot. An NBA source said, there's also a legitimate chance that a 7-footer could miss the entire season.
Damn.
There's another source. Sources said. Conference executives said, that the 76ers rebuilding plan is doomed if Embiid is unable to remain healthy or play at a high level. Quote, he was their guy, said the executive. They were hoping he was a franchise player. If he's not a franchise player, their whole plan is gone. If Embiid can't play or if he can't reach a superstar level, their plan is really in trouble. Hey, yes, it is, because I am one person who thought he was going to be able to come in and, you know, be that kind of, you know, twin tower team with New Orleans Noel. But if that man misses next season, too, he Greg Oden all over again.
Yeah, that's real bad, because you figured he got hurt real early and you figured, all right, just give him a year doing nothing. He'll come back. But I mean, yeah, this is bad. And they said that their other first round pick, Dario Saric, is not going to be playing next season. He's going to stay another year overseas. So, you know, that's basically both your first round picks look like they may not play next season, which is awful.
Yeah,
and it may force them just to go in a different direction. Like, all right, well, you pick this year. If Russell's well, then can't wait no more.
Yeah, absolutely.
Damn.
The next one is going to go to Phil Jackson. Phil. I don't know why Phil thinks some of the stuff he says sometimes is just gold. I tell you. Phil Jackson.
This one's not.
Phil Jackson feels like he should have got at least one vote for executive of the year this past year. When asked if he's still taking the Knicks job, if he had, you know, known how the season was going to go, he said, and I quote, without a doubt, I knew it was going to be a challenge. We just didn't have any room to work with last year. We knew that we were going to have to make big changes with the limitations that we had, being in a locked-in situation as far as the salary cap goes. That's why when I said recently that I didn't know why I wasn't given some votes for executive of the year, I wasn't kidding. I was really serious. We had a yeoman's job of trying to get rid of a lot of fat in our roster to get where we are. I saw Mitch Kupchak got a vote, so I know some people value what the Lakers were doing, obviously. Ooh, shots fired.
Ooh, that is a shot.
That's fire.
Yeah, because I'm like, how did Mitch Kupchak get a vote? I'm like, what did the Lakers do?
They added Julius Randle. Oh, he got hurt. Never mind.
I was like, basically because he found Jordan Clarkson. So Jordan Clarkson, he'll get a vote.
I was just about to say he found a diamond in the rough, so he got to get some love for that. You know what I'm saying? Phil Jackson ain't shit, so I don't know why he thinks he needs a vote.
Yeah, I mean, if he had flipped it around and probably made it to like the sixth seed in the East, yeah, I'd give him some love then. Like, oh, he came in and just turned some shit around already. They was out of the playoff by like January.
Dude, you were the worst team in the league. How you going to
get... For like a minute, like you were like what the hell?
Oh, man.
Look, it's not like people were like, oh, you hired the great coach either. People like... Look, I said I was the one who was going to get Steve Kerr first. I put y'all up on game about Steve Kerr. Give me some love.
Well, on that aspect, yes, I will give him some love for that one. But you should have paid the man.
Yep. Should have. Good for Steve Kerr.
Yep. All right. And then my last what the fuck moment is going to the NFL now. It's going to Vikings wide receiver Charles Johnson, who is currently the starting wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings. But there's only one problem when it comes to Charles. He can't seem to find his jersey anywhere in Minnesota.
What?
Apparently, he was trying to buy a jersey, you know, one of his jerseys for his dad, and couldn't find any.
Damn.
I wish they'd had my jersey for sale. If they did, I'd be buying them all to myself. So apparently his wife played the hero and contacted the Vikings personally so that he was able to bring an authentic jersey to his father in Kentucky for Father's Day, which was a nice gesture by the Vikings. But it's just like, damn, nigga, you ain't got one jersey with your name on it and you supposed to be the starter. That's fucked.
Yeah, you know, hey, then them NFL jerseys, they'd be pissed. If you're not a skilled player, they probably don't have your joint.
He's a wide receiver.
They missed tough in Minnesota, I guess.
Damn.
That is cold. I'm like, you just. It's rough, man. It's just rough. But yeah, you would feel like, won't you just, well, I can say that. Yeah, I'm going to say just order one, but they ain't got one at the team store. None of that.
The shitload of those Johnny Football jerseys, though, huh? Insane.
Can't give them away.
I am done, sir.
All right. Well, I got three. First one is going out to the new Clipper jerseys, this new logo, which is whack. I'm looking at it right now with this big light blue C with the LA in it. And I guess for the home, it's going to be that logo with the number directly to the right of it. Like, what? That shit is ugly, man.
Yeah, I was listening on the radio when it first come out, and yeah, Clipper fans were not happy. They're like, that shit's terrible.
No, I'm looking at the other one, at least like the little powder blue joint that had the LA in cursive. That's cool. I'm like, this shit look like this is not the way to start. I'm sure it just look straight trash. if this is the new logo, guarantee you, if this is what that looks like the new season, guarantee you in 5 years it's gonna change.
Yep.
They're gonna be like, oh, we'll tweak it a little bit. Oh my God.
Who was a designer, man? Jesus.
Yeah, it's I don't know, man. It's just straight. Look, I get changing the old one. I get that. I have no problem with y'all wanting to change it up, but I don't know. Cause it's like we don't know what a Clipper is, so let's just make some shit. I don't know. That's just terrible.
Oh, man.
That is ugly. The next one is going to Terrell Pryor, who pisses off some Cincinnati Bengals by posting some videos on Twitter of him throwing some passes at the Bengals minicamp. This is before he got cut. And this is, I'm like, okay. I think it wouldn't be a big deal if he was just passing to himself, but this is actually during minicamp practice, when they're practicing plays, and now you just put it on there for everybody to look at. And everybody I've seen who's talked about it is like, the fuck is wrong with this dude?
Oh, man.
Like, what is, like, he really thought, like, I'm going to put out some video of what we're working on in minicamp, and nobody's going to give a fuck.
Oh yeah, you know them all them teams in their division is like, thank you. Thanks for the free video. Appreciate that.
Yeah, so what to say about a team source who told them about sharing the practice video. I haven't been around another player who has done that. By no means did we think a player would do something like that. After it was out there for an hour, he removed it. But look, you put it out there for 5 minutes, you late.
It's there. It's there forever now. Somebody got it. I bet you I can track it down right now if I try to find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a reason they made the decision to cut him. Like, well, clearly.
Clearly you a dumbass. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, now he's over at, got picked up by the Browns. And talking to him playing wide receiver.
Of course he got picked up by the Browns. The most disorganized franchise in the NFL. The Raiders. At least the Raiders are going in some kind of decent direction. The fucking Browns are going down.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, have fun there. I'm like, I'm just trying to cast a chick.
I'm going back to Ohio State. Good for you.
$2? Man, I got kids. And my last one is going to, and this just came up today, Sean Combs, P. Diddy, was arrested at UCLA's athletic training complex today, charged with 3 counts of assault with a deadly weapon and making terrorist threats, according to the university.
Okay, what is a terrorist threat?
He was just threatening the dude.
A threat, right?
Okay. Yeah, it says he confronted strength and conditioning coach Sal Alossi. He's the former Jets coach who in 2010 leaned out from the sideline to trip up a Dolphins player during a punt.
Yep, I remember that.
He was suspended the rest of the season, resigned years in, and hadn't worked in the NFL since. Diddy's son Justin plays for the team as defensive back. This is all sources with TMZ. The coach was screaming intensely at Justin during a session. Diddy saw it and confronted the coach, started grabbing him. Then he said Diddy picked up a kettlebell. I'm not a gym rat. I don't know what that is. And swung at him and just barely missed him. And they said they had interns trying to hold him back and whatnot. He's like,
maybe if you're a famous father, you should stay away. If you can't keep your emotions in check. I'm like, Negro, your son playing football. He gonna get yelled at. I'm sorry. You gotta be a much better, you know, person and a bigger man than that to get upset because, you know, you might have cursed at your son a little bit. I'm like, now it's one thing if he crossed the line and said something, you know, derogatory or, you know, over the line of your son. That's one thing. But if he's just cursing at your kid a little bit, you know, hurry the fuck up or what, you know, what, just, you know, being tough on him, it's a different story. I'm like, look, dude, it's football.
Look, this just sounds like, and I saw somebody mention it in online or something, called him, he's a helicopter parent. He one of the parents who like hovering over, always getting involved. Like, you can do better than the coach. Like, just because who you are means everybody got to listen to you. You know, look, this, I hate them parents just in high school and below sports.
Yep.
Like, nigga, this is college. Are you really going up to your son's coach and saying, my son need to play more? Like, nigga, get your ass out of here.
And real spit, if I'm his son, I'm embarrassed.
Oh, this is embarrassing for his son.
So embarrassed. And I'm apologizing to the coach on behalf of my damn dad. I am sorry for the way he acted.
Yeah, P. Diddy's starting to have this little history of going at Duke. So I remember that story with he hit Drake, with him popping Drake.
Yep.
In the club, and then immediately had his bodyguard right around him.
Mm-hmm.
Talking shit like, man, you got to, I'm appreciate your passion. But dude, like, what you gonna do if your son supposedly makes the NFL, you gonna do that too?
You better not.
Like, man, look, like it's a 50. Them squads be having like 50 players on the team. I'm believe how many people on a football team?
In college or pros?
College.
College got at least 75.
Right. And there are 24 starting spots around that. Around, well, he's on defense. So, you know.
And all that, yeah, it's about 24, 25.
Yeah. And you playing on defense, you playing on one side of the ball, which means it's only like 11, 12 spots to start.
Yep.
And they're not playing 30 guys on defense. I'm like, dude, you know, your son made the squad. You ain't paying for it.
Exactly.
He got one of them, you know, merit scholarships that people take exception to. I'm like, if he's a player, they got a scholarship, fine.
Exactly.
They couldn't have. You know, it could have gone to somebody else, but you know, that's another issue.
Yeah.
You know, that's up to UCLA. But I'm sure now they like, dude, I mean, we can just take the scholarship back and you can give it somebody else.
Exactly.
If you got an issue with how we doing things, I saw that today. I was like, oh, he's one of these parents. Like, oh, my God.
Yep.
I'm not going to be one of them kids. I'll be listening in the huddle and stuff. You know, I may be like, can my kid get out there? But I understand when they get to a certain level. And when it becomes very important, coaches are going to play who they're going to play.
Yep.
So, man, just come on, man. Now you got get arrested by campus police, then you got transferred over, got a $50,000 bond, which you probably got in your pocket. But come on, man. Come on. Stop embarrassing your child.
Exactly.
All right, man, that's all I got, so. Want to say thank y'all for tuning in to another episode of the Brothers Lehman Sports Happy Hour, brought to you by the Black Is Network. You can find the podcast on the website, blackisonline.com. You can also check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and TuneIn Radio. We love to get a review on iTunes. It helps us out a lot. Gets us recognized by more people. If you love and want to give us a 5-star review, we'll take that too. If y'all want to get at us directly, y'all can hit us up. You can follow us on Twitter at Brothers Layman. You can email us, thebrotherslayman@gmail.com. You can hit us up on the hotline, 323-455-4219.
Yeah, definitely want to thank all y'all for tuning in with us, especially y'all NBA heads. I know y'all have probably enjoyed hanging out with us for the long haul, but don't worry. We got the draft coming up, summer leagues and all that, so we will still be talking that NBA talk. So please tune in.
Free agency.
Exactly. For the long-time listeners, definitely want to thank y'all for hanging out with us for the long haul, keeping up with us and all that. For the first-time listeners, definitely want to thank y'all for taking the time to just check us out and see what we're about up in here in the happy hour. If you enjoyed the shows, like Chris said, go ahead and give us those reviews, them 5 stars. We love them, you know what I'm saying? And if you did enjoy it, go ahead and tell all your loved ones about the show. Tell your mamas, daddies, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunties, uncles, nieces, nephews. Let's see who we got today. Tell your cats, dogs, chickens, ducks, roosters. You know what? Tell your cowboys. Tell your deputies. Tell the sheriff. The sheriff, if you black, you know what I'm saying? Who else? Tell the aliens. Tell Scooby-Doo. Tell everybody about the Brothers Layman Sports Happy Hour, where it goes down. And we have been your hosts, Chris and Jonathan, where we giving it to you strong and it goes down smooth.
Take it easy, y'all.
Holla.
Hey, what up? This superstition, man. What the time it is. Y'all little niggas listen here, man. LB. I'm from North Carolina. Another banger. I know little brother. I know we the Justice League, man. Well,
yeah. Cannon.
Stop
Cannon.
Stop trying to give me these goddamn CDs, man. Getting me the ass 94 beats. Telling me to ass tape for a
hook. The affiliate.
Got my own shit, nigga. Now I ain't scared of newcomers. My spot solidified. And there's nothing to debate like whether Pac's still alive. I slap box with your pride. I bury your respect in a coffin with all of your confidence. Now I ain't scared of newcomers. My spot solidified. And there's nothing to debate like whether Pac's. Now I ain't scared of newcomers. My spot solidified. And there's nothing to debate like whether Pac's still alive. I slap box with your pride. I bury your respect in a coffin with all of your confidence locked inside. Rock any type of crowd in any town of my choice. And I get pussy off the strength and the sound of my voice. So just turn up your monitors. Fall to your knees, honor us. Cause LB is super rank. The niggas that you wanted with. Don't spit for the fun of it, son. If it makes money, I'ma run with it. This underground game could be punishment for Caroline's running shit. Like it or love it. You know I'm ill, but niggas too scared to say it in public. And I don't blame you. Cause really, I don't expect it from you. Whether you like it or not, you gotta respect my hustle. Do yourself a favor, run and grab a pen and pad, write down, document it. Super that nigga as of right now.
Woo!
Yeah.
You're a crisis, nigga. To our duty shit. You know what I'm saying? Connect the tour. We on the bus. There ain't nobody fucking with us right now. Come on, Tay.
And up next to rhyme is Fontigga. I figure it's time to exercise. You whack niggas have a. And up next to rhyme is Fontigga. I figure it's time to exercise. You whack niggas have them running for the exit sign. Cause every time I spit, it's like I'm testifying to my J League fam. I really think it's time for us to reprogram. You promoters' way of thinking. For you to get us out, that's at least 4 grand. And I ain't trying to politic, chill, or hold hands. So, dog, get on your toes like the repo man. Get ready to love it. Best live show, no one above it. Dog, I seen Let's Stay Together just to add a little substance, but don't get it confused. It ain't Aaron Hall of Justice. Niggas ain't crooners. Niggas just soon to blow. I suggest you watch a tone of voice, Junior. LB and superstition. When I move, my mission is to prove my diction is the livest, niggas.
These motherfuckers kill me, dog. Be trying to call dope. These promoter niggas trying to book us shows. $1,500 all in a goddamn trip to Waffle House. Nigga, soft as my girl last year. I ain't getting out of bed for $1,500, nigga. Let's keep it going, y'all.
To a duty. I done been around the world and rocked a few shows. Crashed a few cities and smashed a few hoes. Until these niggas respect me like they suppose. I'ma keep rocking and that's the way it goes.
My nigga Leg and Sean Boog, yeah, they rolling now. And yo, my nigga Sean Don, yeah, he rolling now.
Here we go.
And now my nigga Superstition, yeah, he rolling now.
Check it out.
And now the rapper Big Pooh about to hold it down.
Come on.
aim fire, I aspire to be the fastest driver in life's 500. Niggas don't want it with poo. If they do, you can bring your whole crew. Man, I give it to them too. From the brim of my hat to the sole of my shoe. From my very first bar to the last when I'm through. I put in work, my nigga. I know my moniker carries it, but I'm trying to live big. Not Pun, not L, not B.I.G. It's the rapper Big Pooh down in history. Crisis orchestrate like a symphony. Symphony, I'm dude who you trying to be. I done been to the places that you dying to see. I done hit a few bras that you trying to G. Now, I put the team on the road with me. We open the market up, that's how it's supposed to be. Don't let your man be a victim on my post. To be. Better turn this ass round like a rotary. I don't wanna toot my own horn, but them LB niggas got it going on. Word is Bon Jovi on tour, so the whole world know me. You want?
Oh, so you just gonna fade the beat out on me, man? Some of these motherfucking rappers need to fade the beat out on their motherfucking careers, man. You know what I'm saying? Because them niggas suck, man. And then they want to cypher with me after the motherfucking shows and shit, man. A nigga tired, man. My motherfucking voice hurt, man. You know what I'm saying? My voice hurting right now, man. I just want to get on the bus. I want to go to sleep. I got to go to the next city. My shirt all sweaty and shit. My back all sweaty, nigga. I'm fat, nigga. I'm 280 motherfucking pounds, nigga. I'm tired.